The 10th of December, two games, two in-season tournament games, and I picked both the winners. It wasn't that hard, to be fair. We had a win to the Bucks. We had a win to the Thunder. Let's get into all the action. This is the post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. And find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please, please go and subscribe. All of that stuff. Feel like I say it ad nauseum, don't I? Two shows a day. We're also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter, X, whatever. Two games. We had two good games, I think. I think they were good. I did mention I was at a Christmas party, so I had to sneaky watch a lot of today's games, but that's all right. That's not necessarily unusual, having to work during games here in Australia, but we manage, we get by. Let's get into the games. The first game, the Bucks do get the win eventually, 114 to 109. Magic did well to keep this one close. Let's start with Cole Anthony, because I talked about him as potentially the guy we want to be picking up for today, if we're looking at the Magic, and I can see that, yes, that loan des, I feel that pain. Streamed Cole Anthony over Anthony Black. And to be fair, look, I recommended it. Cole looked better in that last game. I think what this tells us, well, it tells us a couple of things. One is that if he's not shooting the ball well, they're just not going to play him, Cole Anthony. So it's going to be very reliant on how well he's playing. And unfortunately, we don't know that when we pick him up. But he could come out in the next game, hit his first four shots, play 28 minutes, end up going 9 of 12. And then he's on the court more, maybe he gets a couple more assists and a steal, and this is a far better line. So, yes, it is less than ideal for today, but I wouldn't say this is reflective of what we're going to get moving forward. But it will be very up and down, so if you would prefer to just leave it alone, I totally understand. Anthony Black had 32 minutes in this one, 17 points, 3 assists, 3 steals, so obviously much better than the last game. The 5 of 8 from the line hurts a little bit, but you take all of the other numbers there. So really, it's a confusing situation. And once Paolo comes back, I don't think it matters anyway. I think the Magic maybe have one game in the next 7 days. So if you picked up Cole Anthony today, I would be certainly okay. And I'm sure you would be too. I would be moving on from him. And even Anthony Black, I'm not sure you have to hold him with only one game in 7 days. But let's look at the starters. Wendell Carter continues to start at the power forward position. He had a steal and a block. He had 11 rebounds. Very passive offensively, though, 8 points. He's probably a hold at the moment. Once Banchero is back, that could change. De Silva, we've talked about the fact that he is not a starter. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is not. De Silva is not a rosterable player. He's starting. He's a starter. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is not a rosterable player either. Goga Badadze is. Shouldn't have been dropped. I know he was in some spots because I had people asking me, should I pick him up? I'm like, well, hell yes, you should pick him up. 12 and 14 with a steal and a block in 38 minutes. We don't know what this is going to look like in a month or 2 months, but for now, we just keep rolling with him. And Jalen Suggs did have a trip to the locker room, I think, with some sort of injury. Thumb, I think. But he was able to play through it, looked good, took a lot of shots, 26 of them, ended with 32 points, 9 rebounds, 4 steals and a block. So good to see him scoring and getting defensive stuff because usually they don't come in the same game. So yeah, Suggs is going to have to do a lot. Padadze is doing more. And then it's just take your pick off the bench. Mo Wagner had 13 points, but he also shot 6 of 6 from the field. So we won't expect that too much. For the Bucks, same old story here. Giannis and Dame really just took control of this game. Don't really need to talk about them. Andre Jackson, don't need to talk about him. Bobby Portis had a nice one here, 22 and 10. When he's on a heater like this, he will play. And then as soon as he cools off, they will start rolling out other guys, not over him, but instead of or as well as. Chris Middleton, 20 minutes off the bench, failed to score, only took 2 shots, had 3 steals, had 8 assists, had 4 rebounds. I think he's still a hold. He has top 80 upside. So, I mean, if your team in your mind is full of players that have top 80 upside, then no. But if you've got some guys sitting at the back end of your roster who are top 100, top 120 players, I think Middleton still has a little bit more upside than them. So I'd give him another game or two, but we understand this is going to be slow. And I can see Chad's asked a question there. Is Middleton is a drop? It's not yet. Not yet. We might get there. And I also don't think he has top 40 or 50 upside either. So if you did want to move on, I think that's probably okay as well. Gary Trent had 6 points. He's a 3-point streamer. He got 2 of them. AJ Green's a 3-point streamer. He got 3 of them. Nothing too much there. And Brooke Lopez, I think I saw a Lopez question. Here we go, from Steve. What to do with Brooke? He's been awful the last few. Yeah, he has. How awful? Let's have a look. Okay, let's have a look at Brooke Lopez. I know he's been doing nothing, but I don't have him on a roster. He gets you blocks. We know that. Doesn't get rebounds. He had a couple of weird offensive games early in the season. Okay, here we go. Brooke Lopez. Ugh. Okay, so if we just look at pure ranks, which we know ranks are not everything, but they're a guide at least. Over the last week, Brooke Lopez is the 269th ranked player, 205th over the last 2 weeks, but 41st over the last month. So his value is so dependent on blocks that it really swings his value, as you can see, quite dramatically. It's been really bad the last week. He hasn't got a block in 3 straight games. And if we look at prior to that, he had 3-3-3-3-3-1-1-4-1-5-3-3. So this is a huge buy low because, as we know, as I said, he doesn't get rebounds. When his shots aren't falling, he's not taking a lot of shots. He's also scored 7-3-5-5-5 in the last 5 games. So this is really as bad as it gets. Portis has also been playing well the last couple of games, so that does impact what Lopez can do. And look, it's concerning, but he is old. So this is not completely surprising. I think he's probably, if we want to look at numbers-wise rest of the season, I think he's probably, 11 points, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. So if you don't need blocks, you don't need Brooke Lopez. It's as simple as that, and it's been that simple for, years, and it's even more so now because he's doing even less. And as we've seen the last couple of games, the blocks are somewhat sporadic. They will be better than this. But, yeah, it hasn't been pretty. Dallas and Oklahoma City, OKC, get the win in the end here, 118 to 104. They sort of got out big. Dallas pulled it back a little bit, kept it close, at least close enough that the starters had to be on to close the game, which is always a good thing for fantasy. Let's start with the Dallas side, and let's start with Klay Thompson. 19 points, 5 threes, nothing else. But if you've got him for points and threes, the last couple of games have been decent enough. In 12s, he's very back end, very specialist. I don't know, hold him if you want. But as soon as he has one or two bad games, you just move on. Quinton Grimes started and did nothing. We're not rostering him as long as Kyrie and Luka are healthy. As for Kyrie and Luka, neither were spectacular in this one. They were fine. Irving had 17 points, 5 assists, a steal and a block on 50% shooting. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just an off night. Luka had 2 points in the first half, ended up with 16 and 11, 5 assists, 4 steals, 4 or 5 from the line. So there's some good things in there, but absolutely not his best night. Najee Marshall returned. We had PJ Washington out in this one. That is why Grimes started. And we did talk about this in the pregame show that if, in fact, Washington has the same illness that Marshall had, Marshall missed three, four games. So we could be looking at a two-game absence. I know because of the schedule, that sort of thing, maybe we get one more missed game for PJ. But Najee looked good off the bench, 19 points, 2 assists, 1 steal. Look, I think while PJ's out, he probably should be rostered. Once PJ is back, we probably reevaluate. Dinwiddie, no, 9 points, 4 assists. The steals are nice. I mean, there's a little bit more to go around here with Washington out. Is it enough for Dinwiddie in 12s? Probably not. 14s, probably yes. And then we have the center discussion, and we have a center question from Ernest. How long are we holding Gafford in 12 teams? He's been under 20 minutes for 3 of the last 4 games. So I did read this one beforehand and went and had a bit of a look at some box scores and things like that. So in this game here, Gafford came off the bench again. He did start the second half. I wouldn't read too much into that. But he ended up with 16 minutes, 9 points, 2 rebounds, nothing else. So not a good game. Absolutely, this is not a 12-team line. Derek Lively had 5 and 13 with 1 block. That's probably 12-team. He had 5 assists as well, which is nice. I'd still absolutely hold Lively. And as for Gafford, are we holding him? Well, I don't know. It's close. I think I probably would. So the minutes were down here tonight, but this was not a good matchup for him, because if we have a look at Lively's minutes, he played 31 minutes. And if we jump over to the OKC box score, Hartenstein played practically the same. When Hartenstein's not on the floor, their center is, Kenrich Williams, Alex Caruso, Lou Dort. I mean, take your pick. But they don't need Gafford on the floor when Hartenstein is not on the floor. So this was a bad matchup for him. In the last game, he played 21 minutes. He had 10 and 6 with 3 blocks. Game before that was 19 minutes in a blowout. So the minutes there are down a little bit. And the game before that, 16 minutes, not his best. Prior to that, 27, 24, 23. So I would probably say that just this last little handful of games last week, let's say, there's probably reasons for the minutes being slightly down. So I would probably give him one more game, maybe two. I think if he hits 20, I think it's just enough. But if it's down at 18 or 17, you can probably move on from him. And let's go to the OKC. Oh, let's get rid of that comment. Okay, OKC. Jalen Williams started out pretty slow in this one. Certainly not his best game. He ended up with 18 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists and a block. So if that's a bad game, that tells you a lot about how good he has been this season. Lou Dort had 11 and 6 with a steal and a block. It's serviceable enough, but not a must roster player, I don't think. Hartenstein had 10 and 13 with 3 assists, a steal and a block. Shea, he dominated this game, 39 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, a block. Perfect from the line and very efficient on high volume from the floor. So continues to be a top 3. I think he's top 3, top 4 fantasy player this season. Kayson Wallace started. If he's going to play 30 minutes, I think he's pretty close. He had 11, 8, and 4 with 2 steals and a block. The defense is real. We know that. I don't know. I think 30 minutes is probably enough for Wallace to be considered. Caruso, I put him as a must roster in my list that I did last night. That's sort of based on him being 24 to 25. He had 22 minutes here. He had 6, 4, and 4 with 2 steals. It's pretty borderline. If you picked him up, give him another game. But we're not really interested in those other guys there, Kenrich Williams, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins. They're all pretty healthy, so the minutes are just sort of all over the place, really. And let's have a look at some other questions. Lots of hellos in there. I like hellos. SMK, heart me. I heart anyone that watches my show. Goga popped up. He did. Goga's been very good. Okay, here we go. Regarding the Gafford question, my options on the wire would be Goga, Keontae George, McBride. Okay, McBride, no. I'd have Keontae George and Goga both over Gafford, I think, but it is, of course, very dependent on what stats you need. Goga, very, very comparable. Blocks, rebounds, field goal percentage. Keontae, complete opposite. Points, threes, assists. So, yeah, Keontae's value never looks great when you look at ranking because his field goal percentage is terrible and his turnovers are high. But he can offer value in other categories. So, yeah, I would certainly consider Goga. I would definitely for the time being because he's playing 30 minutes a night. Do we think the JJ injury was just a rest day before the cup? I hope so. This is Jalen Johnson. I'm assuming that we're talking about he missed the last Hawks game in preparation for tomorrow, hopefully. We will see. I do hope that it was. I think a few teams have been just giving, I've said this, been giving guys nights off because of the potential for extended rest. So I would hope that we see Jalen Johnson tomorrow. We've done Chad's question with how good Portis has been of late. Do you think the Bucks would pull the trigger on pushing him? I don't know if they'd pull the trigger in terms of pushing him ahead of Brolo, but in terms of playing more minutes, I do think that they would be open to that idea. There have been trade rumors around Lopez as well, but I just think the impact that Brook Lopez can have defensively, even when he's not sort of putting up those block numbers, I'm sure there is some sort of a stat that looks at altered shots and things like that. He'd have to be high up there just because of his, one, his size, he's massive, and his reputation as an elite shot blocker. Same as Wemby. If you watch Wemby play, he might only get 3 blocks in a game, but the amount of shots that he changes is phenomenal, and Brook Lopez has that kind of impact as well. What's Chad got here? Whoever on the Magic. Hacker Lillard is not an effective theory or tactic. And yes, if your opponent had Damian Lillard today, 10 of 10 from the line, very nice. Okay, C has a question. With Memphis game coming up, what do you think about accepting Bane by giving up Lowry in a trade? Stars changed. I'll read it all out. I feel like they are similar level players. Maybe Lowry is a little bit better, but his team style has changed without CP3, Olynyk, and Hendricks. Bane will play to the end of the season. Lowry may not. Yeah, all fair, I think. And Bane is, look, he was a pretty big buy low. I don't think he is as much anymore. I still don't. I think he's probably top 80. But in saying that, how high is Markkanen? Markkanen's the question here. I think I'd be okay with that because I do more because of the reasoning to do with the games played. I think the Grizzlies look good. I think they're like third in the West or something now. They're right up near the top. And the Jazz are not. The Jazz are bad. And we've already seen Markkanen miss games. Yeah, look, Bane may not give you those high peaks that we'll get because Markkanen, we know, can come out and have a 35 and 12 game with 8 threes. but they do seem few and far between this season. Bane is more likely just to plug along at sort of 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.2 steals, 2 threes. So consistency and overall total floor, I think, is probably higher for Bane because I think he plays more games. So, yes, I would consider that. What is wrong with Quentin Grimes? I know the role isn't great, but he looks like a shell. Yeah, he's had a couple of good games. He had one game I was watching where he basically hit his first 5 threes or something. But other than that, he hasn't done much. He was interesting when he was in New York and then hasn't really taken off. So he's not worth rostering. I think if we got a long-term injury to either Kyrie or Luka, we would. But at the moment, we are not. Who to stream between pods or GP2 tomorrow? Need field goal percentage. Ooh. I mean, if you need field goal percentage, it's probably Gary Payton just because I don't even know what his field goal percentage is. I feel like it's probably higher than Pajemski, isn't it? But he's also lower volume. So if he shot 40%, it's more likely to be 40% on 5 shots, where pods could be 40% on 10 shots. Where are we? Here we go. So field goal percentage, yes, for Gary. Oh, that's not Gary Payton. Why did it go there? Bloody Dan Gafford. Talked enough about Dan Gafford today. Thinking. Here we go. Okay. Gary Payton, field goal percentage for the year is 55% on 4 shots. So much lower, less risk, I think. I mean, that in itself is a risk as well because he might get you 60%, but he might only shoot 3 shots, whereas pods could do the reverse and shoot 60% on 10 shots. So it is hit or miss. I think if you want to play it safe, I'd go Payton. If you're willing to take a little bit of a chance, I'd go Pajemski just because he's going to have the ball in his hands a little bit more. Payton is really just out there for his defensive stats. And if you look at his shot attempts over the last, the season, but 8-3-7-6-3-1-9-4-4-4-4-2-1-3-4-4-3. So he's not shooting the ball at all, really. Where Pajemski, I mean, coming into the season, they were talking about him as this guy they wanted shooting all these threes, and that hasn't obviously eventuated. But if we look at his, when this loads up, Pajemski, if we look at his field goal attempts, 5-7-9-11-8-10-5-3-11. So field goal percentage isn't as good, as I said. It's 38%. So, yeah. You weigh up the pros and cons there. Any timetable on Mobley? No, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything at all on Mobley, actually, which, I mean, given the fact that there's no games or there's weird schedules, when do the Cavs play next? We know they don't play tomorrow. Do they play? And they do not play on Thursday. So they must play Friday. So they play the Wizards on Friday. So probably not great for Mobley. There's a chance they just decide to give him the night off there. Then it's the in-season tournament semis. Oh, no, that's the wrong Sunday. And then the Cavs don't play again. So Cavs play once this week against the Wizards. They then play next Tuesday against the Nets. And then I feel like it's in-season tournament final. Then it's a day off. And then do the Cavs play? Then there's a lot of games on the Thursday, but the Cavs don't play. They then play the Bucks next Friday. So in theory, if they want to give Mobley some rest here, they could. If they just sit him against the Wizards and the Nets, he will get 2 weeks off. So I'm not saying they're going to do that, but if there's a time of year to do it, now is that time. So yeah, I would prepare maybe for an absence here of at least one game, but I don't know, time will tell. Okay, that will do for today's show. I will be back. I'll be back in the morning. There will be a pregame show, so we'll do the two in-season tournament games. I'll also be recording a live show, probably a live show with Karan. We'll be talking about our industry pickup matchup from last week. And then Friday, there will be a pre-game show again, and I will be doing a mailbag show with Noah Rubin, I believe, as well. So, and we'll do that. We'll probably do that live. We do have a lot of questions already, but we always welcome other questions. So I'll let everyone go. I'm going to go. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching and tuning in and downloading, all that sort of stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.